Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center.
Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
That's it.
There is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.
And there you have it, folks. Episode 159 of the Takeover Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Seeker. It's another beautiful day in the Treasure Valley or wherever you're watching. We've got another great episode. And before, obviously, I introduce our guest, I also want to say if you're watching right now and you're not subscribed to the channel, you should subscribe. Just one little click. That's all it takes. Like the video. Goes a long way. Appreciate it. But the man that makes it happen, controlling the cameras, the soundboard, you know him by now. Sean DeVille. How we doing, my man?
Doing great. What is that shirt you have on? I have to ask.
Oh, underneath. So what is also get your merch.
Wait a minute.
Get your merch.
Takeover sports shirt?
Just a quick plug. I know we got a merch website coming up. It's under development. I'll throw the link in the chat. Or no, not the chat. The description. Check it out. We got hats coming. It's a whole thing.
We'll make your own. Since it's just launched, we'll make your own discount code.
I'll say, I got to hold the jacket like this now, dude.
We'll do Takeover 15. They can get 15% off any merch.
Okay. We'll coordinate that and we'll announce that. But, Sean, here's the thing. It's not about our merch site or us this episode. Right. 159 is not about us. It's about the man that broke the all-time scoring record for men's basketball at Boise State, Mount Spokane High School. Stand up. Welcome to the show, Tyson Degenhart.
Thanks for having me. That was a great intro. I didn't realize you just launched your merch, so I think got to get that discount code in there and get it working.
Absolutely. This is my NIL, right?
There we go.
Yeah. My name, image, and likeness. It's under development, but I don't need an agent, right? This is my own thing. Let's freaking go.
You take all the proceeds.
Exactly, right? But hey, Sean's also.
You got to give like Sean.
Yeah.
You can split it that way. You don't have to give it to an agent and then you have to split it with Sean differently, you know?
Yeah. We had a whole conversation before we started too, but we'll obviously dive more into that. But as I'd mentioned, Mount Spokane High School, Spokane, Washington. So tell me a little bit about that. You haven't always been 6'8", have you, in high school? Did you have like a crazy growth spurt? Were you a guard? How'd that start?
I was always pretty tall. Always one of the tallest in my classes. And then from 7th to 8th grade, I was a 5'10 going into 7th grade, and I was 6'4 by the time I started 8th grade. So that was my growth spurt.
Holy smokes.
And then I grew to 6'5 my freshman year, and then 6'7 my sophomore year, and then by the end of high school, started college, I was 6'8".
Okay.
So I was pretty consistent grower throughout like elementary school, and then once I hit middle school, that was the big growth spurt that everyone talks about.
Yeah, that's a freaking jump. So you said 5'11 in 7th grade?
5'10, yeah.
5'10, still, dude, that's tall. Okay, so you've always been a big man.
Yeah.
Playing basketball.
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
So you were always working on the post hook, post fades. Was that ever in your bag? Were you always shooting threes?
My AAU coach when I was younger in like second and third grade did not like us shooting threes. So it was a thing that got developed over time. You had to kind of earn your way to, you know, shooting threes. And we were in second and third grade. We're not going to hoist up shots from our hip and just pray. Like, we're going to take the high percentage shots. We're going to get to the rim. And
yeah.
And so that's the way that we played. And as time went on, I went to a different team, and then we were able to shoot a little more threes. And once you get strong enough, it's more natural. It's not like you're shooting it completely different, you know, a two than a three once you get like fifth, sixth grade.
Okay. And I feel like they always kind of harp that onto you. Like, I did Hoop Dreams when I was younger, mm-hmm. and kind of like the AU, and they're always like, hey, triple threat, pick and roll, you know, kind of like the old time, like, you know, elbow jump shots, high percentage and all that. Always work on the free throws. And so I feel like I started shooting threes, I want to say maybe like sophomore year, I got comfortable.
Sophomore year high school?
I mean, when I was like, yeah, no, that's going in. I was never I was never really a shooter. I'm more of a point guard. You saw me, 5'11 and a half, 6 feet in shoes, ladies. I dish the rock, you know. But if I'm open, I'll shoot.
Yeah, you're a true point guard. You got to facilitate. You got to find your guys, run the offense. If they sag off, you're going to make the three.
Exactly.
There we go.
So Boise State was looking at you and was like, okay, this kid's 6'8", coming from Spokane. Was Boise State the only school that gave you an offer?
No. Right initially into the process, it was Point Loma, Nazarene, D2 in San Diego, University of Denver, Idaho State, and Eastern Washington. And then Boise State jumped in. And I came on a visit, started my junior year, and I fell in love with Boise. I came to a camp the month prior, got my offer there. And when I came on the visit, I loved it. It felt a lot like Spokane, just, you know, like a newer Spokane in my eyes. And I felt very at home being so close. It's an hour flight. Mm-hmm. It's not too far. Loved the coaching staff, loved the players, and I thought it was a no-brainer. And so I committed about a week after, and I never looked back.
Was that during COVID?
No, this was in 2019. So I came on my visit in September of 2019. So I have some old pictures from that visit. I got the long hair. I got some Jordan 1 mids that I wasn't, like, too fond of now. It's not – it's either highs or lows. It's not
Jordan 1 mids?
Not the mids.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a tough look. But, yeah, ever since then, I haven't looked back and never questioned my decision to the school.
I was going to say, yeah, it worked out pretty well. So, you know, I think you made the right decision. I want to talk a little bit about your hometown. So how do you feel when people call it Spokompton? Does that name ring true?
In some parts, it's not the greatest. I wouldn't compare it to Compton or anything like that.
Seems it's pretty aggressive, yeah.
It seems a little aggressive, but it's kind of a nickname the city's gotten, and so I just kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to – there's some areas that you don't want to go to in the downtown area, but okay. Other than that, it's a great city. Okay. I enjoyed living there. I don't plan on moving back or anything like
really?
That. I don't think so.
Okay.
My parents are going to move down here when they retire. My sister goes to school here. So I think they're going to plan on moving down here at some point.
Okay. So your parents, when they went on the visit with you, they're like, okay, this might work for all of us.
I think they were more inclined now that my sister goes to school here. They can come and see both of us rather than just, you know, one of us here, one at a different school. It made it a lot easier. And every time they came, they just enjoyed it more and more. They enjoyed the downtown area, just being able to walk to restaurants, and they felt very comfortable down there. And
nice.
That was a big thing, and they enjoyed everything about Boise State and Boise the city, so I think it's kind of a no-brainer for them.
It's a great city, man. You know, and a lot of the players that I've talked to, especially like most of the football players that have been on and even just athletes in general, it seems like it's always usually the people and like how friendly everyone is here is what sells it the most. That's all I hear.
For sure. Like, everyone's so nice. You can walk downtown, everyone will say hi, and it's not like you're going to run into someone who's on a bad day. It's like everyone normally is having a pretty good day, and they're happy to be there, and it definitely is the people that makes it so special. I mean, there's obviously great things about the school and the city, but the people is really what makes it so special.
I completely agree, and I've been here my whole life, and I'm still kind of like, well, that was very nice of what they said, even to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so how about this? When you were younger, quick flashback, how old were you when you first dunked?
14.
Okay.
I think it was after, my dad's a PE teacher at my middle school, so I would hang out after school, and I'd get a basketball out, and like right at the start of my eighth grade year when I was getting to that growth spurt, I was like messing with like tennis ball and just trying to like figure out, like, oh, I'm getting close, like I can be able to touch rim, and then you get to the tennis ball, get to like a dodgeball, so a little bit bigger, you can grip it, and then you get to a volleyball, and then you start working your way up, and I had my first in-game dunk in eighth grade.
Sweet. Was it off 2 feet or off one?
Off one.
Okay.
It was kind of, the video I have of it, it has a slow-mo, so like the ball's like, I don't like completely flush it down like you normally, it kind of like.
Is a rim grazer?
Yeah.
Got to go through it.
It still counts. I still count it, yeah.
I think, that counts.
It for sure counts.
Eighth grade, that's good.
Yeah.
So mom or dad got on video?
One of my teammates throughout elementary school, middle school, and high school, his dad got on video. He filmed all our games, and so he has on video. He has an old video of us in, like, second grade playing basketball. It was the greatest.
Do you still ever look back on that video? Just been like, wow, look at me go.
It's in my, like, liked videos on YouTube. So, like, I'll occasionally go down. It's, like, one of my first liked videos. So I'll scroll down there and watch it every once in a while and just kind of laugh. And just, like, I know a bunch of the kids still, and just to see them like at that young age, it's pretty funny.
So I know you mentioned you had long hair. Andrew Meadow also had long hair.
Yeah.
Were you bummed when he cut his hair?
Funny story. We I walked into the facility the day that or the the morning after, and it's early, like I'm going in there to shoot or whatever and eat breakfast, and kind of look, and he's got his hood up. And when he normally had his hood up, he'd have like a hat backwards, so it'd keep his hair back. And then I see these kind of like the bangs in the front to about here, and he has his glass on. I kind of look, I'm like, who is that? And I get closer, I'm like, oh, it's Meadow. And he pulled off his hood and he cut his hair, and it's like, no way. And that's exactly how everyone's reaction was the whole day. Like, they were just shocked.
So this was unannounced. He just was like, I'm going to cut it.
Yeah, I think he wanted to be more known for just his goggles and not necessarily the long hair. I think that's what he told me. He likes to be known for the goggles.
Yeah.
Yes.
His signature. Dirt Rambus.
Yes.
Yeah.
and I think he wanted to change it up a little bit too. I think.
Okay.
Long hair gets annoying, especially when you're playing basketball. You gotta keep it back, and it's a lot more maintenance on it. And so I don't blame him for that, because I told my high school teammates I'd cut my hair once I got to college, and it took me a while, but I did it. I did it on my last day of the summer and chopped it all off.
Yeah, go back to Tyson Degenhardt's picture with the long hair, because I was going to say, peak for peak, hair length between you and Meadow, you give him a good run.
He's got me by a little bit on length, for sure.
Length, yeah.
But I mean, I do give him a good run.
Because, dude, hits.
Look at that one. That's the one, yeah.
So
we took that my freshman summer, so before I cut my hair, because I went the whole summer, I was like, okay, this is kind of like my transition to college. It's like, okay, once I cut my hair, now I'm cutting college. Like, it was kind of a learning period. I just wanted to keep it for a little bit. Didn't necessarily want to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, all right, I'm going to cut it the last day we're here, and haven't looked back since.
So that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy long. And I had long hair too, you know, playing basketball. It's just... And then when you get the sweat in the eye,
it's the worst.
And you're like, like, and it burns, and you can't see.
You get to that like length where it's like not long enough to like put into a pony or a bun or anything, and you have to wear this like headband, and it's just weird length, and you're just like, nah, I don't want to deal with that anymore. Once you cut it, it's like you gotta let it go.
Even sometimes like dead ball, I have to like readjust.
Yeah, and
right,
you get like, tired of it. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's just one more thing you got to worry about on the court.
Exactly.
You don't want that.
No.
So, you're obviously a hoops guy. You're an NBA guy? You follow the NBA a lot?
Not as much like during our season. It's, you know, you're obviously like when you're watching games, you're going to watch college games because a lot of our conference is on national TV. So, we're going to watch those. But now that our season's over and it's NBA playoffs, I'm definitely tuned in.
Who's your GOAT? I'm curious.
I'm a Jordan guy through and through.
Wow.
I was a Bron guy actually when I was younger. I always thought about him, and then when I watched The Last Dance, I was like, this Jordan guy, like, you just admire him so much for what he did in those like 8 years, and in the two in the middle, he played baseball, he won those six titles and was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously LeBron's one of the, I think LeBron's number two. I think it's like almost like a 1A 1B, but I think Jordan's number one.
Okay. And you think it's because one, the dominance,
it was more, I mean, obviously LeBron's got the longevity, I think, yeah, just sheer dominance of, like, I couldn't imagine what MJ would do in this era because it's such a different style of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, I think if Michael Jordan understood he had to take 10 threes a game, I think he would adapt to that. But he was getting to the mid-range and having 30 points a game. So
yeah, especially, can you imagine with him in social media?
Man.
I mean, you could also say about the longevity, like, LeBron has today's technology to be able to play this
game. Health and nutrition's factor.
Like, I don't know what MJ's nutritionist was.
He was a drinker. Sure. He gambled. Yeah. Like, he smoked.
He liked a good cigar after a game. Yeah.
Golfed a ton.
Yeah, he did golf a ton. You always hear those golf stories. He'd go out and play 36 holes and then give you 40, and you're like, how is this guy doing it?
Yeah. Did you hear about his own course that he made, tailored to how he plays?
Isn't it called, like, the Grove 23? And, you know, he's probably,
I think
he probably hits the ball a little, I would guess, left to right, because that's how most righties hit golf shots, I'm
little
sure.
Little fade,
and yeah. I'm sure most holes are tailored that way.
Yeah, just like the way his game is, so he'll be like, yeah, 100 bucks, I can beat you on this hole. But he knows exactly where his ball is going every single time.
It's going to end up in the fairway somehow, some way.
He's just that competitive psychopath.
Yeah.
And also impact on the game. Crazy.
For sure. Like, you watch, There was a movie about the Nike. What's that?
Air?
Yeah. That
one.
Yeah. Talking about like MJ's first shoe. Like, that, to have that kind of like greatness in just a shoe and like people still wear it and still like collect them like that, that's pretty cool as well. Yeah. That's got to add to some legacy portion as well.
Nike's where it's at because of it.
For sure. That I mean, he had Phil Knight had to take a huge jump on that.
And yep.
Look where it ended up.
Yeah. Because, God, that was a great movie, too, now that you bring that up. So, okay, you're Jordan guy.
Yeah.
Is it close, or are you just like, no debate?
It's close, but I think Jordan's firmly won.
Okay. Gotcha. Who'd be your third? I'm curious.
I don't know. That's why I kind of just don't know. Because there's arguments. There's like 10 guys. I mean, there's probably 15 guys you could squeeze into those next 8 spots. And that's where you can start a lot of controversies, like where you put everyone. So I don't do that.
Yeah. Because
you get people that are like, you see a lot of people that put Kobe outside their top 10. And they're like, okay. And then it starts controversy. I'm like, I'm not getting into this.
It's a rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit hole. We do not need to get into this.
Yeah.
Not worth it. Not worth the time. Not worth the energy.
I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, your basketball career. We can, you know, go back into that here. So who's one player last 4 years that you've gone up against and you were like, oh, this guy's real?
There's a couple. I mean, if you kind of go back, this year's Nate Clifford. He gave us the most trouble out of anyone this year. I mean, you know, they went 3-0 against us. They were one shot away from the Sweet 16. Mm. Probably one of the hottest teams in the country from February into March. And he just does it all. He does it on both ends of the floor. He's going to have a great pro career. Kind of going back to like my freshman year, you got guys like David Roddy, who was a first-round pick out of Colorado State. And then like Graham EK, I don't know how he has another year, but he's playing another year at Gonzaga next year. I just saw.
Holy smokes.
those two came to mind. And then like you have guards like Isaiah Stevens and those guys who just see the floor so well, are so smart, and it makes it so much harder to play against.
That home game against Colorado State. Oh my Lord. Clifford could not miss. I was sitting there. I'm like.
Yeah.
He had 40, right?
36, yeah.
In college, that's nuts.
And it wasn't like he took 30 shots. I think he took like 20.
Yeah.
Maybe even like 19. I don't even remember what it was, but it was efficient. It was an efficient 36. It wasn't.
Yeah. I was going to say he went like 13 of 18.
Yeah, it was efficient. He had like an and-one threes. He'd get to the rim. He'd shoot bump fades. I mean, it didn't really matter what we did. He was making shots, and that's sometimes how it goes. You get a guy to make their first couple, and it can be a long night from there.
It's, you know, all about momentum in basketball, too. You just kind of feel that, and he just double-teamed, didn't matter, just bank.
Or he'd pass it out, and another guy would make a three, and you're just like, all right.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your coach, Leon.
The best.
What's your favorite thing about Leon Rice?
I think it's, like, he'll push you to be so great on the court, but then he's be an awesome person to know off the court. Like you're able to, like he'll be able to get on you during practice, but then after practice, he'd be a guy you go play 9 holes with on the golf course and just have a great time. Like he's just that kind of guy where he understands like he needs to push you to become the best version of yourself and will challenge you in different ways. But then off the court, he loves to, you know, enjoy time just being like, not necessarily like friends, but like friends. Like he's going to be a lifelong friend for me. Like now that we're, you know, not coach and player, now we're friends.
Yeah.
And he's like great friends. We can go out and play golf and just enjoy our time, you know, not on the court together.
Is he a funny guy?
Yes.
I was going to say, he looks sneaky funny.
He's very funny.
Is he like dad jokes or he has like a pretty good dry sense of humor? Like what?
Probably some dad jokes. I think he does have some dry sense of humor in there too, but it's a little bit of a mix.
He seems like a awesome guy to be around. Some of the interviews, I haven't heard a lot of them, but I've just heard some of those one-liners and like little remarks. I'm just like, oh wait, he's funny.
Yeah, no, he gets a couple of those in the film room and gives some of our players crap during it. And he keeps us on our toes for sure.
Were you ever hearing some of the stuff during the season? It was kind of, I think, mid-season. I can't remember when, but there were some Boise State fans being like, oh, fire Leon Rice, this, that. And I'm just like, what are we doing? Were you hearing that?
Not this year. I deleted Twitter this year, so I was completely off. Probably one of the best things I think I've ever done for my own sanity.
Good.
Because Twitter can get like that after losses. You know, I understand people's frustration with things like that, but we're equally as frustrated, if not more frustrated, with our own performances. And there's different things that we wish we could have done in the games. But I remember after my freshman year, we lost to Cal State Bakersfield at home. We scored 39 points. It was awful. I went on Twitter and it was like, fire Leon. And then that year was the year he ended up being coach of the year. We won the league and we won the conference tournament. So
yeah,
it's hard. Like, I understand the frustration. Like, everyone talks about no March Madness wins, you know, all this stuff, but he's elevated this program so much. And I know there's so much more in the tank. Like, we felt like, you know, we had a team that probably could have made the tournament this year, and we had some chances, but we lost a couple games that we had the lead or tied with 15 seconds left. You flip those, we're in the tournament. We were playing our best basketball going into March. It's hard, but he's a great recruiter, great coach. He's elevated this program. He's going to continue to do that.
And it's cool that, like, that's the standard now, right?
Yeah.
Because before you were here, like, if Boise State won 17 or 18 games, everyone's like, this was a great season, let's go. But now it's like a mid-season recency bias. You know, you drop a game and everyone's like, blow up the whole freaking thing. It's like, we got a lot of basketball to play. And in Leon's the reason because of the standard now.
Yeah, the standard's been elevated for sure. I remember coming in, and in our practice gym, we have banners about, like, when we made the, like, NCAA tournament. When I looked up, like, my freshman year is like 2015 was the last time we were here. I was like, that's got to change. Like, that's playing an NCAA tournament's like the coolest thing ever. You know, grow up watching it. Like, you're in school on that Thursday and Friday, and I'm not doing any work. I'm watching basketball from the time it's on all the way through lunch, through all that. And to, you know, be a part of three tournament teams, that's pretty special in 4 years, especially three in a row, because that never happened in school history. So our coach is going to continue to elevate the standard of Boise State basketball even after I'm done. I know that for a fact.
Like, to be fair to Leon, too, we only had, looks like up here, like 1976 was the only time we went past the first round.
And so they didn't even win. That was before it went to 64.
Yeah.
So it says like 0-10.
Yeah.
It's because that was that's just how it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, realistically, yeah, like you were saying with 2015, I mean, he's taken us there.
So with the 23
times the last 10 years, right?
One, two, three.
Yeah. So like
four.
The 2013 LaSalle team, they went to the round of 32. That was in the first four, and then they ended up playing Dayton in Dayton.
Rigged. That's nuts.
Like
that. What are we doing?
I don't know. I'm sure they've changed that since then, but I don't.
First four still in Dayton.
It's still in Dayton, but I don't know if Dayton ever made it. I don't know if they played at a different site.
Okay. But I do remember that game vividly, and I was like, wait, they're calling this a neutral site. This is their home court.
I mean, that's, in essence, like UNLV hosts a conference tournament. It's considered a neutral site, I think, too. I don't know how it all works, but yeah.
But, I mean, round of 64 games, like, that's a lot of energy in that building.
Yeah.
You know, because there's multiple games in that conference tournament. I can kind of see, I'm sure you guys don't really think about that much, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
When you guys beat Utah State this year, everyone was like, oh, like, we're back, this, that. And I'm like, for those of y'all that wanted Leon fired, don't switch up now. Do not. Cardenas liked the comment. I was like, let's freaking go, dude. Let's go. But, yeah, it's like the switch-up's crazy. And it's just like, you got to remember, again, it's one game. I think it was like a January game. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but like, we have a whole season.
Yeah, there's a... I heard something from I think it was actually Coach Few, and I've known him for a long time. I played AU with one of his sons. So he said, like, throughout the season, you're going to play, let's say you play 30 game season. That's about what the regular season, about 15 to 20 of those games, you're going to play like your average, like a C. Like, think about it as a grade. You'll play like a C.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have like two, you'll have like five that you play really good, like A, and then you have some that you play really bad, and that's just kind of the way it goes. I mean, it could be like a little more average. You could have a couple less bad ones, but there's going to be some bad ones. It's hard to be at your best every night. That's just not the way basketball works. There's volatility in everything. Like, we don't go out there and try to miss shots. Like, it just happens.
Yeah, and it's so fast-paced. Dude, the traveling road games are just tougher scientifically. Yeah. Like, home court advantage, it's a thing.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, and Yeah, it's just basketball.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
It's in part of it in every sport. You see, like in baseball, guys will go on hitting slumps. Like, it just happens. People go on shooting slumps in basketball.
Long season.
And it's a long season, so there's a way to fix the tide and you know, get on a little run or anything like that.
Quick question, too. How do you feel about, and I feel like this is, I feel it's unfortunate for the West Coast teams in this conference realignment with the traveling, with the Big Ten, ACC. That must be brutal for them to go east, like, what, 7 different times, 8 different times throughout the season? That's got to take a toll.
Yeah, I'm in the field of, like, football. That's fine because you go for one game. But for other sports, it's just not feasible. And then you're seeing, like, the cut down of, like, the sports that are on the West Coast. Like, let's say, like, at Stanford, they're cutting sports, or Cal, or someone has cut sports because it's too expensive to get all the way over to the East Coast multiple times a year. It doesn't make sense. And I think you've seen, like, I think there were softball players that committed to, let's say, Pac-10, 12 school that went to the Big Ten, and they're like, mm-hmm. I committed to play in the Pac-12, not the Big Ten.
Right.
It's a different thing. Like, you, as a player, you don't want to travel that much.
No.
I mean, you're a professional, it's different.
You're making good money.
And the professionals, you get private jets everywhere.
Yep.
You get that covered. But some of these sports, they can't afford to have that.
Yeah, and they're in school, too.
And they're in school, too. So you expect us to stay on top of school and spend 2 weeks on the East Coast. Like, it's hard.
Oh, it's probably difficult. The UCLA coach said it best. I don't know if you heard that snippet he said. He's like,
oh, yeah.
We've seen the Statue of Liberty 3 different times this year.
Yeah, that's not normal.
Yeah.
Like, we would go to our, like, one East Coast, go East tournament. We do that once a year, and it's exhausting going there mm-hmm. just for, like, a week.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine doing that more than once because your time change, all that stuff, especially for Pacific Coast going, moving 3 hours up. That's a huge change.
Ridiculous. And so it is wild with conference realignment, transfer portal, and NIL craziness. There's no rules right now. And you stayed here all 4 years. Did you ever get hit up by other schools to go to leave Boise State?
No.
No.
It's funny. Like, everyone thinks I did, but no. The year that I probably could have gone was, like, after my junior year, but I got no text about anything. No, I didn't have an agent, so there was no, like, point of contact. Like, hey, tell them that we'll offer you this. It was just me, and you had to go through me. And I think people knew that I was super loyal to Boise State and didn't want to leave, and I think they respected that, and so they just didn't even bother.
Oh, sweet. I was going to say, I bet that's kind of nice.
It was nice.
Yeah.
I had my nose surgery. I was, you know, trying to get back into shape afterwards, and I didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. I was going to stay, and I was a no-brainer.
I mean, it worked out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you, man. So I was just kind of curious, because it's, again, I know we talked a little bit about it before we started recording, but there's just a lot of things that need to change about that.
Yeah. I'm all for, like, players transferring and everything. Like, people have to do what's in their best interest, and I will never judge someone for transferring, and you never know what someone's going through in that sense. Like, you can make speculations, but you never know the reason for that transfer, and you never want to make assumptions. I do think there needs to be some, like, salary cap or something like that to where, you know, I think I saw yesterday Kentucky's NIL budget's like $20 million for basketball. Not football, basketball.
Wow.
And you're like, you look at that, and that's a lot of money. I just don't know how that's going to be able to sustain throughout the next, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to buck up, like, for these donors. It's like, they got to buck up however much money each year. And then at some point, it's like, what's it?
We is don't it
get
worth
like
it?
For these big teams, it's like, if they don't get a national championship, is it worth it?
Yeah. Especially in the round of 64 and then the tournament. Do you think that has an effect with where we're at now? And I think the storm's officially here with all that. Do you think that's a reason that there were not as many upsets as usual because of these higher seeds are a little more put together with these transfers?
And it's hard to tell. Yeah. I think everyone wanted, like, a Cinderella story. I think, like, eight of the top 9 teams on KenPom made the Elite Eight. So the best teams were playing the best basketball at the right time. You know, there wasn't as many upsets as previous years, but sometimes I think we get spoiled with Cinderella runs and stuff like that, and so we're so accustomed to it because it's happened so many times in the last 5 years where, like, oh, St. Peter's did the Elite Eight. Like, that didn't happen this year.
No.
Or, like, Oral Roberts in the COVID year, they made it to the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
You have teams like that.
Loyola Chicago.
Loyola Chicago in 2019. You have FDU who upset a one seed. Like, you just don't see that as much, and I think we got spoiled the last couple of years because I don't think that's a common occurrence.
Yeah, but great basketball. That Final Four was historically
that
good.
Final Four was fantastic to watch. I think the Elite Eight was great to watch.
True.
Even some of the Sweet 16 games, like that was great basketball. And that's, as a fan, that's all you could ever ask for is great basketball.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a, you know, pick your poison, right?
Because you don't, like, what happened with St. Peter's, they ran into North Carolina that year and they just got
steamrolled.
Yeah, steamrolled. That's, sometimes that's the way it goes.
Right.
Like, do you want the Cinderella run to end like that, or do you want, like, really good basketball throughout the tournament? I think a lot of people would want close games, down to the wire, buzzer beaters. They want all that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that makes it exciting. You have to be engaged for the whole game.
Yeah. I would say in a perfect world, in a perfect bracket that I would see, early upsets, then quality basketball towards the end. And I think we got a good mix of that.
Yeah.
Right? McNeese won. Colorado State got their victory. It was kind of cool to see a little bit of that. And then a one-seeded Final Four, and it was just a slugfest.
It was great basketball. It was fantastic to watch.
And you had great basketball this year at Boise State because you were 584 points away from the record. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. People would – well, the media would keep asking me about it. I'm like, you try to, like, take your mind off things like that because – can't score five, like, especially before the year, it's like, that's, you have 30 some games, you can't really worry about 584 points.
Yeah,
like, you can obviously want it, but you can't worry about it. And so as we get closer, as I got closer and closer, people would ask me more and more about it. I'm like, I just want to win games. At the end of the day, that's what matters to me. And, like, the more we won, the more games we played, the more chance I got to score. So the longer our season was going to be.
Yeah,
that's the way I approached it, and ended up working out pretty well.
Very mature of you to say that, too, and it's perfectly answered. I mean, it's a mental sport, right? Especially you were talking about, you know, getting in the rhythm, shots off, and you don't want to be every game being like, oh, I need to average 19 points, like, if I can get there, right? And then you're like, oh, wait, I'm thinking about myself, right?
Yeah, you never want to think about yourself. You want the game to come to you a little bit, and, like, there may be some games where someone's hot and you got to find the shooter because, you know, the defense might be so sucked in on that guy, another guy might be wide open. And so you just have to take how the game comes to you. And if you're thinking about yourself, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing your teammate. You're doing your teammates a disservice in your team, in my opinion, at least.
I think you nailed it. I think that's 100% true. You know, that's a 5-on-5 sport for a reason.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you did break the record. Does that mean anything to you? Have you reflected on that at all?
I don't. It's really cool. You know, I talked to Tanaka Beard either before this year or the previous year. I think it was before this year because he got inducted to the Boise State Hall of Fame in 24. So I think he was there before, and he told me to go get it. And just kind of the support I've had from him from afar has been really, really cool. And to put my name in the record books for a long time is pretty cool as well.
Historic stuff, dude.
I just wish it, like, obviously you can look back and want more things and be like, oh, I wish it was in a, like, an NCAA tournament game, but you can't always control the outcome of things. You just got to keep putting your best foot forward.
So, from the outside, looking on this roster now, who's next? Who's got the reins? Is it going to be Meadow, Peanut, RJ Keen? Who's the next dog?
I think you're going to see a good mix of guys. I think we have, at least for the roster that I've seen right now, you got a lot of guys that can do it on different nights. I don't think you're going to have, like, necessarily one guy that's going to be like, okay, this is your leading score. I think you're going to have a bunch of guys that'll hover around 12, 13, 14 points a game, and which makes it harder to guard because, like, you got to pick your poison. Like, one of these guys is going to be hot on any given night. And so it depends what you're going to do defensively. Like, you're going to run Peanut off the line, you're going to run Meadow off the line. You can find Javen in the post. I mean, I haven't seen enough of Dylan Andrews and Drew Fielder, but those are guys that can get it done too. And RJ's going to come in. I know he's going to shoot it better. I've talked to him about it. He's going to shoot it better. He's going to keep doing his rebounding thing. But we got some great players on this roster, and I'm excited to see what they can do next year.
Yeah, exciting getting Dylan Andrews, the UCLA guard. That's a great pickup. Who was the other name you said?
Drew Fielder. He's from the area. He went to Rocky Mountain High School, but then he transferred to like Sunrise Christian for his senior year. Was at Georgetown and transfers back home.
Okay, I was gonna say, I feel like that name does sound familiar. Yeah. Cool. Exciting stuff, Bronco Nation.
Yeah. A lot to look forward to next year for Boise State Hoops.
Yes. Are you going to maybe make a trip back? Or I guess you're living here. Or I guess it depends on your future,
right? Depends on the future, man. Yeah. Everything's kind of up in the air. But if I am able to make it back to a couple games, I'd love to. But it is a little harder. Boise's not that big of an airport, so it's harder to get to. It's not like Salt Lake. You obviously can fly into Salt Lake and drive, but it's not like you can fly to just – it's not like an Atlanta airport where it's this huge hub.
It's Mecca, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so the NBA draft is coming up. What is the, I've been actually reading things. You know, you could be potentially a second round pick.
Could. I just don't know. It's just kind of a waiting game. Got to go through the whole pre-draft process and do all that kind of stuff. But that's a little ways away. I'm not going to worry too much about it. I'm just going to keep doing me and getting better every day.
So is the day-to-day right now just working out, eating right, talking to the right people? Or I don't want to speak for you, but...
No, that's basically it. It's, work out, make sure you're getting in shape, make sure you're working with the NBA ball, getting used to the NBA line, eating right. And then for me right now is just finishing school as well. Going to graduate in a couple weeks. Got to make sure I finish strong.
Yeah.
You don't want to let anything slip right now. That would hold you back from actually getting that diploma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they allow you to walk if you need like one more class, I think.
I don't know the rules there.
I think it's like if you need one more class, you're able to walk. But
okay.
I want to walk and like know I'm getting my diploma.
Like done.
Yeah, I want to be done with school.
Like that paper needs to be coming to me once I walk that
stage.
Yeah,
I need to be like so certain, like all my grades are good. And it's not like I'm worried about my grades, but I just need to make sure I do myself justice and like finish the school year strong.
And you know what? You are right. I've heard people where they do courses in the summer where they need like 3 or 6 more credits and then they're done.
Yeah, it's very minimal, yeah.
Yeah. But my biggest fear would be not get like, Lord forbid that I don't pass one of those classes. Then what? Do I have to re-enroll in fall? I don't know how that'd work.
Yeah, not trying to think about
it. Yeah, you know what? No, but let's not talk about that.
We don't need to put that bad mojo in there right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're too close to finals week.
Exactly. The checkered flag's right there. Sprint.
It's coming up final lap, so it's near.
Almost done. I got a fun little segment, rapid fire.
Okay.
Some quick questions, kind of one-line answers. It could be one word, whatever. Tyson Degenhart, are you ready for rapid fire on the takeover? Okay. Rapid fire, over the last 4 years, too, and your Boise State career as a student and as an athlete, one thing Leon Rice said to you that stuck with you forever?
During one of the games this year, San Jose, I didn't take an open three and ended up being a bad possession. And that time, I was kind of struggling from the three-point line. He's like, you need to take that shot because you not taking that shot is selfish. And I kind of sat there and like thought about it. It's like the first time out of the game. And he said that to me and kind of resonated with me. I'm like, okay, I need to shoot this because I'm open. I'm a good shooter and it's best for our team. So that was that one this year.
Ooh, that was deep.
Yeah.
All right.
And your first time out of the game and you're like, yep. Okay. I can do that.
Set the tone, Leon.
Yeah. Cause it ended up being a possession. I tried to drive by, got blocked and it was just I think we ended up being a shot clock violation and it was just a bad possession. So
gotcha.
It definitely resonated with me. I still think about that to this day.
Yeah. Okay. Great start here. The most memorable thing a fan has ever DM'd you or said to you?
There's quite a few that have happened, but there's one that this year I got some guy apparently bet my under for steals against New Mexico and I hadn't got one. And I apparently on his parlay lost him $1,000. And I was like, I saw it and I'm like, I don't care. This is the truth. I don't care about you. Like I'm playing to win and I don't care what any of that says. Like
what is that?
Why are you like honestly, why are you gambling on college sports? Like that's not the
yeah.
No, just don't do it.
And you're DMing me like you think what does he or they expect? Like crazy. Funny though.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's like,
what do you expect?
Like it just and steals are like one of those stats that I was thinking about. I'm like, they're so volatile. Like, it just happen. like sometimes the ball get knocked and you pick it up, that's considered your steal. And like sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time. And sometimes it's one of those, like, you don't want to reach all the time, but if the ball's there, you're going to tip it. Like, it's just one of those things that's...
Make a better bet. Steals?
Steals?
Like, we weren't doing points or rebounds.
I don't
want to keep pushing that, but that's funny, though.
Yeah.
Memorable for sure. Toughest teammate you've ever had to guard in practice?
There's a couple that come to mind. Buki Jab was one of them. Mm-hmm. Just he's one of those guys that just competes on a day-to-day basis and just would let you have it. Like, if he had a mismatch, he's getting it, and he's going to work, and he's going to score. You know, his mid-range game was really, really good, and he was strong enough to bump you down in the post, and his three-point shot definitely improved during that year. And when he's able to do it from all three levels, it's very hard to guard. And then I'll say, like, Marcus Shaver. He can do it all, and when he's making threes, like, you have to run off the line. He's good enough to make a two-dribble pull-up and get to the rim, and those are two that come to mind.
Best food in Boise?
You got to give me, like, a category, like,
okay.
Food.
How about restaurant? Does that help?
Like, it's food type.
Best burger in Boise?
Sid's Garage.
Correct answer.
Underrated spot. They just put one over. It's by Barber Park. I don't know. It's right past Bound Crossing on Park Center. They just added it there. It's a new little
area. Really?
Yeah, over there.
Okay.
Very good.
I have a new one. I just found, if you've ever been to Indian Lakes Golf Course,
okay,
there is a new restaurant on the golf course, like, next to the pro shop. It's called Fancy Burger. And the name, when you see it, you're like, there's no way this burger is, like, with a name like Fancy Burger, you're never like, oh, yeah,
oh, okay, we'll see.
Incredible burger. They're like smash burgers, too. And that's the best burger I've ever had. I will say.
Are you like a bacon burger guy, or are you just like a plain cheeseburger?
No, I would get, what's the one I had there? I had it was like two smash patties, some jalapenos on it, like bacon. It was really good.
Huh.
Okay. Fancy Burger at Indian Lakes Golf Course.
Is that the golf course, the little 9-hole course off of Cole Road?
Yep.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm thinking of the right spot. <Yep. laughs>
Solid, like, yeah, play
twice.
That's
great.
Yeah,
that's great.
You'll always get a tee time.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I played there once, and I enjoyed it. It was great.
Yeah.
Easy solid.
Easy course, too. It's wide open.
Yeah.
I don't lose balls there.
There you go.
That's the most important thing. Balls are not cheap.
It'll keep you a little happier.
Yeah.
Best sound in basketball?
Like a perfect swish. Mm. That's very soothing. Very soothing. It's like... in a game when you hear it too, and like you kind of see it and you like know what the sound is, it's a great feeling.
And
like sometimes on TV, the swish sounds even better because there's mics around the hoop and they get it and it just sounds so good.
I bet, yeah, in game, I bet that feels great. How about like an empty practice gym swish where it echoes?
That's always a good one too.
That's when you're like, ooh.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, that one felt good.
Yeah.
Especially when like it feels good and you're like, oh, it's cash, and then it's all net. You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good for the confidence.
Yeah, you're like, okay, this is going to be good. Toughest environment you've ever played in?
There's a couple because, like, freshman year, their senior night, Colorado State, was probably one of the loudest gyms I've ever been in. It was unreal.
Ooh.
They beat us that game. That was the David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens, John Tonji team. That was a real...
sixth seed, Colorado State.
Yes, that one. The Pit, my sophomore year when we lost in overtime, that was when Morris Udeji made that layup in overtime, loudest I've ever heard. Utah State this year, loudest. It's the quietest when the shot, when it hit the rim, and then when it went, it was one of the loudest I've ever heard. I'd say those three. And obviously, like, VAS is good, but those three, like, those three games in my head always stick out.
Most obnoxious fan base?
I'm not, like... I don't mind any fan base. Like, people are going to say stuff no matter what.
Okay. I guess you can word that different.
It's like
toughest crowd.
Toughest crowd is probably New Mexico, I would say.
Okay.
They're very close to the court. And I got told I'm balding. Like, you, I think this year, apparently, the Nevada student section was chanting, he looks 40 to me. I was like, I didn't know.
That's a reach.
Yeah. I don't think I look 40, but
no,
there's a little like spot on my head where it's like getting a little thinner, and they see that, and it's a tough scene. Yeah, it's a tough scene. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Max. Poor guy.
I felt so bad for him sometimes.
Oh, my Lord.
The story I just tell, like, to kind of give perspective. So at Utah State, at the 75-minute mark, students can come in. So 75 minutes before the game. So this is before a lot of guys, like, will shoot before games. And then at 60 minutes, a lot of teams will come out and start warming up. So at 75 minutes, the student section starts flooding in. And when Max would shoot a shot and it would go in, they would boo him. And when he'd miss in warm-ups, they'd cheer. Like, that's how, like, they cared so much about him.
Oh, my Lord.
Where was that at? New Mexico?
No, Utah State.
Oh, Logan.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I was going to say, I think Utah State always, I hear stories about them where they were always just chirping.
So our assistant, Coach Duryea, was a coach there for a lot of years, and I always asked him about that. He says Spectrum Magic is real, and that's, I believe it. Like, there's just something about that arena, that atmosphere, that just helps you win games. It's hard to describe, but there's mm-hmm. something about it that just helps you win games. It's
wild.
It's the weirdest thing.
What will you miss most about the city of Boise?
We talked about it earlier, but the people. Okay. Not only, like, my teammates and my coaches, but just the fan base. Like, everyone was so good to myself and my family, and that's something I always appreciated. Like, you can go into certain fan bases, and they won't treat you like that. And I was very fortunate to have a fan base like this where they really respected you and appreciated your efforts. So I'm going to say people for sure.
And then out of all 4 years, what was your favorite moment with your teammates and coaches and, I guess, the team?
It's got to be winning the conference championship in Vegas and winning the regular season conference title. Those two always stick out to me. It was just such a special moment when that happened, and I don't think you really truly realize how special it is until it's gone. And I always look back, and, like, I have shirts from it, and look back, I'm like, that was such a fun year. That was such a fun game. Like, we were a team that really didn't care who got the credit. We were just out there to play really hard and guard, and the offense would take care of itself, and we ended up doing pretty well for ourselves.
That was a special year.
That was a special year.
For
was
sure.
2022, when everyone rushed the court?
21-22, yeah.
Yeah, I rushed the court. That was fun.
Yeah, I think security had a tough day with that one.
Yeah.
That's
kind of just have to let it happen, right?
Well, they don't want to get fined. Like, I get it.
I don't. Why that rule? Why is that a rule?
I think player safety. Also, like, we went to Wyoming and they knocked off our 14-game win streak and they roped off the players. So, like, we're in the handshake line and there's, like, a rope with guards here. So, like, we can do the handshake line and the fans can rush the court on the other side. Then once we're off the court, they don't get there, which was great. Like, I didn't have to worry.
That's how it should be.
That's how it should be.
Because Caitlin Clark got injured that one time.
There's too many things that can happen, especially with social media now. You can get people with phones and go up, like,
just be obnoxious.
This close to your face, yeah. And it's emotional. There's a lot going on.
All, like, the fights that have happened. Like,
it's just not worth it.
Yeah. It is gross behavior. That can't happen.
It can happen. It not always happens, but it can happen.
There's always potential, because you're right, yeah, especially on an emotional loss.
Yeah, it's especially like a one if you lost on a buzzer beater, you're not happy. You just want to get to the locker room without any problems.
Controversy.
Just go to the locker room, and then you can decompress in there and let them have their fun. Because, like, winning those type of games is super fun, and storming the court's great, but being on the other side, you just got to let them get to the locker room, and then you'll be fine.
Good answer, because you know a lot of those students, not a lot, maybe some of them, you know, like, under the influence, parlay hit, you know, they're probably through the roof.
Never know.
Never know.
You never know.
So, that's how it should be. Rope it off, get them out, and then, okay, you can celebrate.
Or what you can do, I think I saw it at, like, a Georgia game this year. Let the people do the handshakes, do whatever, and then once they get off the court, then you can swim. I think they had to wait, like, a minute 30. So let... Like, after the game, they had to wait a minute and 30 seconds before they could storm the court.
Perfect.
Let everyone get off, and then the players can enjoy it.
Yeah, perfect.
It's way safer. It's way better.
Tyson Degenhart, Commissioner of College Basketball, it's coming.
We'll pass on that opportunity.
Nah.
Too much going on, and I don't.
Great idea, though. We got to staple that.
We got to see if that can get some traction or something like that.
Yeah. What do you like to do in your free time? Golf? What it sounds like? Watch the Mariners?
Occasionally watch the Mariners. It's hard here because, like, YouTube TV doesn't get Root Sports here.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's always blacked out.
It's always
right?
blacked out.
That's ridiculous.
And, like, MLB TV, it's blacked out because it's too close. So occasionally, like on Apple TV, or if it's on FS1 or whatever, I'll watch. I'll scoreboard watch right now because it's early. We won today. We're 14-11. It's great.
April, baby.
Hey, it's April baseball. But I like to golf. I like spending time outside. Like I was able to go to. I've been to Lucky Peak like one day this summer. It's great just to be outside and just enjoy the great weather here. And I think eventually, once I'm done with school, I'll enjoy reading a little bit more so I can read what I want to read rather than what reading like textbooks.
Blackboard responses.
No thanks. Pass.
Yeah, I don't miss that at all. But, okay, what kind of books? I'm a finance major,
so I'll read some finance books. I'll read some like personal growth books like Atomic Habits and Discipline is Destiny. I've been two that I've read. Just try to take one or two things from each book and just kind of continue to better myself and continue to learn things, because even though school's going to be over, it's like you got to continue to learn stuff.
Yeah,
you can't just sit there and like not learn stuff.
Your brain's a muscle. You got to work it out.
Keep working. You got to keep doing things to make sure it's at its tip top shape.
So what's your average golf score? What's your handicap?
Gosh, at one point I got down to like an 11 handicap. I'm probably hovering like 18, 19 if I had to guess.
Okay, so what, you're probably averaging?
I'll break 100. I hover like par 72. I could probably shoot, give you today like a 94.
Okay. So, I mean, are you happy about that?
Yeah,
you're getting better?
No, I try to go out there and have one birdie around.
It's a good goal.
And like I think I play better when I don't necessarily keep score. Like I probably could think back and like tell you what my score was, but I don't try to like write it down. And so every time I open up my scorecard, I look at it and start adding it up in my head.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, all this stuff.
Like, what did I do on 12 and you're on hole 15? You're like, it's behind you.
It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Just have someone else. I need to have someone else keep score for me and then think about it later.
Leon can keep score for you.
Like, Coach, I got a bogey there.
He goes, yo, I know you did. I saw it.
He's got to, you know, he's had eyes on me.
Yeah. I guess wrapping up, any last message for Bronco Nation? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
No, you're good. I just want to say thanks to Bronco Nation. It's been an incredible 4 years, and 4 years I'll never forget. And just appreciate all your support throughout those 4 years and just welcoming me with open arms, because that was a big reason why I came here, is the people, and just forever grateful for this place and wish you guys nothing but the best.
And you forever left a mark here and cemented a great, phenomenal legacy, dude. Seriously.
I appreciate that.
We're thankful to have you. And maybe back on as a guest one time.
Hey.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
But yeah, wish you the best luck in your future, obviously. Always rooting for you. Tyson Degenhart, everyone. And we'll be wrapping up episode 159. Make sure, check out the merch website. Sean, any last remarks?
Nope. Go Broncos.
What's the promo code for the merch? Is it TakeOver15?
TakeOver15, get you 15% off for that beautiful shirt right there. There's some other colors too, and a hat as well.
We got black, blue, white, and a hat. Mm-hmm. Okay, be on the lookout. Well, we'll see you guys for episode 160. Y'all have a good one. Take it easy. Peace.